Blog Talk Radio.
Are we on?
Yes, we on.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Welcome to It Factor Entertainment.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Yes. Can you tell us what you have been doing now? Since your careers from Hollywood, doing movies and music videos.
Well, I mean, essentially, I spend a lot of time, a lion's share of my time, either developing projects or seeking financing for them. So that takes up a tremendous amount of my time. The other thing that I focus on a lot is sort of giving back. I work with kids, young people. I'm out here now in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island, and had a wonderful 2 days with kids and working with them and mentoring them and giving them, you know, knowledge, accurate knowledge, mind you, and empowering them with some dance skills that are going to help them further their careers or dreams of having a career.
Awesome. What got you interested in becoming a dancer?
Pardon?
What got you interested in becoming a dancer and choreographer?
Well, essentially, you know, I started my career Well, my dancing interest started as young as 3 and 4 years old. It just, I don't know, it's just something that I identified with, I enjoyed. And as time progressed, it became my personal salvo. And I was able to escape my immediate surroundings, which were meager, growing up in the project homes and other inner city areas of Chicago. And it was just a way of making myself feel better. So that's pretty much how it started for me as a dancer. But my dance career really started to take off when my mom moved me and my sisters to Placentia, California, where we started, eventually became one of the original Soul Train gang members. And then I, of course, became one of the founding members of the Lockers. And that pretty much solidified me in the street dance world.
Any people that you influenced during that time that I know one of them was actually James Brown. Was any other from the music business or entertainment business?
I don't know, you're breaking up because we don't have a great connection. Would you mind repeating that?
Yes. Who were your influence in dancing in the industry? I know James Brown was actually one of your inspirationals.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, James Brown, I mean, we can go down the laundry list of people that influenced me growing up in Chicago in terms of dance. You know, that would certainly be James Brown, would certainly be Cab Calloway, the Nicholas Brothers, Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor. You know, there's a host of them, but there's one in particular that I kind of leaned towards, and he wasn't known as a dancer per se, but for some reason I really connected with him, and he kind of gave me my sort of shabadoo attitude when I danced, and that was David Ruffin, the lead singer of The Temptations.
Yes, he definitely has also tons of charisma also.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
Also, what's your memories of Fred Barry as a friend and also a part of the original Lockers?
I have fond memories of Fred Barry. What we call the Mr. Penguin, the world came to know him as Rerun on What's Happening. He was just an amazing talent, had, you know, a ton of charisma, moved like a man one-third his weight. So he's quite nimble and very flexible. Could do front flips, splits, everything. And he was just an amazingly talented street dancer and funny and I miss him. He was a great guy. Mr. Penguin.
What was your memories of performing on What's Happening?
It was fun. It was fun. It was very interesting doing the show. Because, you know, on the show we weren't called the Lockers per se. I think they gave us the name the Rockets. And but it was great working on the show. I learned it a lot. And I just remember Raj, he was very funny coming out, turning the tables there, and the character Raj. And so, anyway, I just have fond memories of it, and just a lot of fun doing that show.
Also, how was it to be part of the Soul Train dancers also?
Being one of the original members of Soul Train Gang was something I will always cherish. It was just a magical period in dance. It was just, you know, we were still embroiled in, you know, civil rights movement. I think Vietnam War was still on. And we were embracing our black pride, so to speak. And the fact that we had a show called Soul Train that was a platform for black entertainers and dancers to really strut their stuff was just really amazing. And I just loved going to the show and having the friendships there. And you know, you guys, you know, the viewing audience never saw, you know, didn't get a chance to see the things that were happening behind the scenes. But it was very much like a family. It was a lot of fun. It just, everybody was coming with new dance steps every week, every show. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Right. We all also remember Fred Berry from there also, also with his routines also.
Oh, yeah, Fred, doing the slow motion. That's what he was really known for.
Right. What was your memories of doing Breaking 1 and 2 for the first time?
Extremely challenging, exciting. Magical again. It was just a life-altering experience. Again,
right.
And some people have asked me, you know, did I always think it would be, you know, the kind of show that it did, was it going to be the kind of show that garnered the success that it garnered? And I really did. I believe that it did. It would, and that it was going to. When I was making it, I knew we had a winning formula. I felt it. And the chemistry was there. The fact that they used dancers, real dancers, in the lead roles. You know, it's something different, let's say, than Beat Street, for instance, where Beat Street was a good picture, and certainly the dancers that were in it, like the Rocksteady Crew and the New York City Breakers, were amazing in that. I think it would have been a much better movie had they been the stars of the movie, the actual leads, and didn't use actors in those roles. The fact the Break-In used, you know, real street dancers in the lead differentiated Break-In from Beat Street, and I think and why it eventually went on to become the successful powerhouse that it became, financially speaking. Of course, Beat Street is still a culturally respected motion picture, but Break-In is the film that kind of cemented in people's minds, you know, that we as street dancers, as performers, as hip-hop artists, what have you, can really make it and make it on the big screen, financially speaking, of course, and in addition to it being, you know, highly entertaining and so forth.
One caller wants to know what happened to your partner Mike Chambers and what he's doing now after Breaking 1 and 2.
Well, you know, sometimes people come together in their lives to do something special. You don't recognize it when you're doing it. But in retrospect, you realize that. And Boogaloo Shrimp, being a part of the Shabadoo crew and the both of us doing some wonderful work in both the Breaking Pictures, I think we had served our purpose. And afterwards, I think it was time for us to move on and pursue our individual interests, as I had before I inducted Shrimp into my crew. I had, again, the Soul Train and the Locker all, you know, under my belt already, and then I had a fledgling choreography career already going on. So after the Breaking movies, I just continued to do what I was doing. I went on to star in the movie Lambada, choreograph Madonna's World Tour. I did a bunch of other things right after that. Now, because of that intense work, it didn't really allow for me and Shrimp, Boogaloo Shrimp, and the world knows him as Turbo, I suppose, but it didn't allow for our friendship to continue in the way that it was before. So quite naturally, we went on our own journeys. I'm on my own journey. He's on his own journey. I don't know what he's doing. I don't really look into what he's doing, but I do hope that he's doing well and that he's achieving all the wonderful things that he hoped to achieve.
Oh, okay. We are going to the phone lines now from our callers that wants to ask questions from you.
Okay.
Yes. You're on from It Factor Entertainment. Who's calling? Caller? Hello? Yeah, it was, what was like the performing music videos of Shaka with Shaka Khan and Lionel Richie?
Well, the Lionel Richie video, I certainly had hands-on with the All Night Long video, having choreographed the film and was basically the talent coordinator. So all the people that you saw in the All Night Long video, people that I cast in the video. But with respect to the Shaka Khan's video, in all honesty, we didn't perform that video with Shaka Khan. It was really excerpts of a re-edit of another video I choreographed for Norma Kamali. So that Norma Kamali footage was lent, I guess, to the record company with Shaka Khan, and Shaka Khan was inserted into our video. So the video existed before Shaka Khan, and Shaka Khan was inserted into our video, and then they used her song as the driving piece, driving the visuals.
Awesome. And what was it like to work with Shaka Khan?
Again, we didn't work with Shaka Khan directly, so we have no. It's very odd because we have a strong connection to Shaka Khan. I certainly do, since we used, I think it was Ain't Nobody in the Breaking movie, and then we have that her other song, Shaka Khan, that one. So that deal. So a lot of people think that we did a lot of work together, when in fact we do have this kind of symbiotic relationship, but we never actually work together in the same room. But I suppose if I worked with Shaka Khan, it would be great.
Right.
So what about?
Also, you had a chance to work with Jean-Claude Van Damme. He was also a background dancer and breaking movies. You have any memories of him being part of the movie?
Here, let's set the record straight. Jean-Claude Van Damme was not a featured dancer or casted as a dancer in the breaking film. What he was cast as was an extra. So he was an extra during the Venice Beach scene, in the Venice Beach scene, but he wasn't cast to be anything significant. What made him significant over the years and decades after the release of Breaking was the fact that he was dressed the way that he was dressed, and he was dancing in the awkward way that he was dancing. This kind of made it a funny moment in the film. So there was no Jean-Claude Van Damme actor as we knew him then. He was unknown. This was the first piece of film, I suppose, that he was in. So to tell you the truth, on the set, I saw him, but I really didn't pay attention to him because he was just some guy in a funny outfit. So I didn't really pay attention to him.
Any memory of your co-star, Lucinda Dickey?
Yeah. I certainly had a personal friendship with Lucinda Dickey, and prior, or at least it developed during the film, and I mean, during the rehearsal period and all that, but my initial reaction to Lucinda Dickey, Special K, if you will, was one of resentment. I didn't want her to be a part of the movie to begin with. I felt that she wasn't a street dancer, and I questioned her street dancing ability, and I was quite vocal about it. And this caused some friction initially, but as it turns out, she won my respect. She really applied herself at the highest level that she possibly could. And when I look at it again, in retrospect, I look at it and I see that her being in the movie was a good thing for the movie. You know, she didn't have to be the best street dancer. All she needed to do was show that she had a big heart and a love and a passion for the culture. And I think that worked. I mean, I think that the filmmakers wanted to give hip-hop a multicultural complexion. And by having, you know, a Caucasian lead, me, I sort of represented the Latino part of the film, and then you have Shrimp, who's Turbo, who was obviously, you know, a black kid, and so you have white, black, and Spanish, and if you look at all the other people that were cast in the movie, we went on to have Asians and everything else, so I think for that reason, it was a good choice to do that and to show the world that hip-hop wasn't just for black or just for Spanish people, or Puerto Ricans, what have you, that it was a culture that was inclusive of everyone. So, you know, there you go. It was a good choice in the end.
Right. Any memories of performing on Miami Vice as the character Pepe?
Yeah. It's funny, you know, because it was Michael Mann cast me. He actually, you know, direct booked me for that. Just a history notice that I actually was very close and was being considered for the Ricardo Tubbs role, the Philip Michael Thomas role. So I could have been the lead across from Don Johnson in the Miami Vice series. But as it turns out, and the kind of feedback we got, my agent got, is I was a little green and a little too young looking for the role as they imagined it. Now, Philip Michael Thomas, it's not to take away from him. He did a wonderful job, and he was perfect as Ricardo Tubbs. And we actually talked about it on the set, and he's just a really great guy. He was very supportive, as well as Don Johnson. And I just have, you know, fond memories. They just say, hey, you know what, Shabba, do whatever you want. You just let me. So the character I had is Pepe, you know, they kind of just let me do my thing. So, yeah, I'm glad they give me that kind of creative trust to just let, you know, cut me loose and let me do my thing.
Also, you was also mostly known also in Madonna's video, Who's That Girl? What was it like working with Madonna?
Working with Madonna is a very intense experience. She is a very specific artist, and she wants very specific things. She cast me as the lead. I'm the only dancer that had billing in her show. Has ever been cast as a dancer in a show that had billing, and I choreographed the world tour, and I just had a great time working with Madonna. I won't lie and say that it was all beautiful. Sometimes it was tough because she can be very demanding and very, let's say, rigid about what she wants to see or not. So in some of those very rare instances, you know, there is some friction that develops. But overall, I can say nothing but and think about my experience working with Madonna on the Who's That Girl World Tour.
What was it like being choreographer of a 3-6 Mafia's performance for 78 Academy Awards?
Actually, I think it was the 79th Academy Awards, and it was I served as the associate choreographer. The lead choreographer was Keith Young. Keith Young and I had a wonderful personal relationship and a professional relationship, and we collaborated on that number. I was cast as the lead pimp, and with along across from Taraji Henson, and this idea was born out of one of my I had a television series on NBC called The Big Show, and Keith Young and I decided we wanted to do something, you know, along those lines, and we just kind of created that idea together. And it was just wonderful working with Keith Young and working on that production. And, you know, I had a blast. It's hard out here for a street dancer.
So true.
Yeah.
any memories of Saturday Night Live?
Well, you know, just Saturday Night Live. I made three appearances on Saturday Night Live as a member of the Locker, and it was just a really great show. Again, all these shows you're talking about, I don't recall any, you know, bad experiences. I had a wonderful time on each one of them, and so that could be just kind of ticket response you could use and say for every project I've worked on. It's just wonderful to be part of an iconic show and being the, you know, such as Saturday Night Live and being their vault as part of my career. So it's just a really great time, really great experience.
Also, what advice would you give to young aspiring dancers that wants to be in the entertainment business?
Work on your skills, work on your dance, but also get an education. You know, education is the rocket fuel that drives creative people. Without education, you're at the, you know, mercy of chance, and I wouldn't recommend that. The other thing is I would limit my circle of influence to people that were not just positive talking, but actually do positive things. I would say no to drugs, ug to drugs and alcohol. They shouldn't play a part in your life. I believe also you would need to be grounded. So I would if you have it already, that's fine. But if you don't, I would reconnect with my family. I would try to be as honest as I possibly could. And if you believe in God or not, it's one thing. But me, I do. So I would recommend establishing or kindling a relationship with God. So that would be my advice.
All right. What is your memories of working on Tango and Cash movie?
Fun, again. Fun, just, you know, that was a great show. I really liked it. The guy who went on to be, John Peters, who went on to, you know, be the CEO of Warner Brothers. We had a wonderful conversation sitting on, outside of my dressing room, it's called a honey wagon, but sitting on the steps of my honey wagon and just talking about life and just shooting the breeze. I remember that more than anything. John Peters is just a cool guy, you know. You know,
right.
He produced also the Batman movies and all that, the early Batman movies with Jack Nicholson and so forth.
Also, any memories with Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell?
Just cool people, very cool, extremely professional. That's my main memory. Yeah, and hey, you know, both of them have such a great sense of humor, which I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but they certainly do. Well, at least they did. I'm hoping they still do, but yeah, that's what I remember, their humor.
Can you plug your upcoming projects?
Yes, I'm looking to be part of the Olympia Film Festival in November out in Olympia or Seattle, Washington, Olympia, Washington. And then afterwards headed for Paris to be part of the Birth of a Culture, Soul Train and Beyond. It's going to be a great event with Jean-Paul Good, the celebrated photographer. There was, at one time, was married to Grace Jones. Another gentleman, part of it, his name's Patrick. So we are going to be putting on a nice event at the Mona Bismarck American Center. So it's a very prestigious event, and so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to coming back to the East Coast at some point in November as well. Then I have a dance on film series concept that I'm working with Carlina Gordin, and that will hopefully be in the Maryland area, Washington, D.C. area. So looking forward to that. And still, I'm trying to, I have now on the table to return to China, but that contract needs to be solidified. But, you know, we're in negotiations and talks to make that work. So we'll see. And then the other one is waiting for Claudia Dumais to come to America, so I'm looking forward to seeing her for all kinds of reasons. Like, she's my biggest project. Anyway, that's about it. Now my biggest one right now is to get to the Boston airport on time. I'm about to jet out here and go to Boston from Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes, your tour never stops.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you guys, fans out there, if you want to keep abreast of what I'm doing, go to visit my website, www.shabbadoo.com, or visit me on Facebook, and it's my official page, fan page, is Adolfo Shabbadoo Quiñones, and you can find me on Facebook, and I have other pages and group pages, and on Instagram, you can find me at Shabbadoo, Shabbadoo, 1972. Now, you know, you can keep up with all my activities.
Oh, so we'll definitely do that. Yes. Shabbadoo, it's an honor for you to come on It Factor Entertainment Radio. You can come back anytime to the show.
Oh, wonderful, man. Thank you for having me. It's been a real blast. And, you know, thank you, all you, everyone out there that has supported the Breaking Movies. And thank God it has inspired most of you to do the best you can, to realize that you can do anything you want to do. And yeah, I'm just really thrilled about that. So, anyway, I have to jet out. The car is downstairs at the hotel waiting to bring me to the Boston airport, so I can head back to Los Angeles, the city of angels.
That's right. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Ciao. Bye, everyone.
All right. You have a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Shabbadoo. Yes, if you want to look for this episode, it's right on blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingItFactorRadio or our Facebook fan page at WrestlingItFactorRadio.com/ItFactorEntertainmentRadio. This is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later.
Until the knocks you down, and when you're busting up, be sure you pass it around. Come on, let's go. jam on it. Jam on and on it. And if you're feeling like you wanna dance on that, then go on ahead and blow it. Can't do it wrong, that's why the whole world is singing this song. I jam on it.